Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. This program is coming to you from the world-famous Coffee Zone in downtown Jefferson City, Missouri. And the owner here, Tysir Giannis, would love to see you. So if you're ever in Jeff City, remember the Coffee Zone, home of Rocket Fuel. And I've had my share and probably will have a little more before I leave here. Well, I want to, before we get into this week's program, thank our sponsor, which is Fluidigm, and you can find them at Fluidigm.com. You can go to AgWired, and there's a category for Fluidigm if you'd like to learn more about them. And I encourage you to do so. Well, in this week's program, we're going to be talking about horses. Actually, we're going to be talking about horse podcasting. And this is going to be an interview that I conducted with Glenn Hebert, who is the owner and executive director of the Horse Radio Network. You can find them at horseradionetwork.com. I met Glenn out at Blog World and New Media Expo in Las Vegas, and you know, the equine business, very closely related to farming and agriculture. And in fact, I dare say that a lot of the roots of that come from there. And so I thought it would be really appropriate to talk to him about his podcasting network, which now consists of a number of different shows that he's been producing for over a year. So without further ado, let's meet Glenn and learn more about the Horse Radio Network. Well, Dan, it's great to talk to you, and after having had a chance to meet you at Blog World Expo. And let's first of all start with, what do you do for Horse Radio Network?
I actually own Horse Radio Network, and I'm also the host of several of the shows, as well as editor and basically chief bottle washer. Do almost everything here.
I can relate to that. I understand.
That's the world of podcasting.
That's right. Well, what is the Horse Radio Network? I'm not real familiar myself, and we'll definitely introduce you to our listeners.
Well, the Horse Radio Network is a series of radio shows devoted to horse lovers around the world. We have a number of different shows. We do five now, and eventually by this time next year, we want to have 10 different shows that we're doing on the network. The first show that we did was called Stable Scoop, and it is a general show that does general topics about the horse world. And it's a fun show. It's entertaining. It's light. We goof around a lot on that show, and it's still the flagship show, the most popular show on the network. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because it's just fun and entertaining, and we sit around like you're sitting around the tack room talking about horses. And then we do the World Equestrian Games radio show. We've been doing that for more than a year now. Looking forward to the World Equestrian Games here in Lexington, Kentucky next year. We do an eventing show. We do a dressage show. And we also do a little show I call Horse Tip Daily, which is I have different experts, equestrian experts, come on every day and give different tips about your horses. So that's a little short show we do every day.
And you want to do more after doing all these?
Yeah, we want to.
Glutton for punishment, I guess.
Yes, I am, I think. We want to have 10 total. It's a lot of fun. We have a great time doing it. I have several co-hosts that I work with. I only do three of the shows myself, and I probably will only do one more. Hmm. And then that's all I'll host. And then we have hosts that take over the responsibilities for the other shows. And what's kind of neat is the eventing and the dressage show, we actually have professional dressage riders and event riders as co-hosts of those shows that are currently actively competing. So they know everybody. You know, it adds a whole different dynamic to those shows having a current competitor on there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm going to guess then, since you own the Horse Radio Network, that you probably started it. And tell me about how that came about. You know, why did you decide to do this, for example?
I actually had one of the first equine-related podcasts on the air when I was consulting with a retail company years ago. We did one called Talking Equine, the Talking Equine show, and I really liked it. And when I stopped consulting with that company, the show sort of went away. And then about a year and a half later, I said, I want to do this again. I was between consulting contracts, and I said, well, that's it. We're just going to do it now. So I started the network with one show, and here we are a year later with five shows, and we have over 260 episodes we've done now that are there waiting to listen to.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that a lot of people don't fully understand is, unlike traditional broadcast radio, we archive these things, and then you run into that long tail effect of realizing that people can listen to them today, tomorrow, next week, and even years later, for that matter. And so it takes a little bit of a different mindset to understand how the audience and listener statistics work on this. And, you know, kind of speaking of that whole thing, what, tell me about how you have turned this into an income stream for yourself. And because I know that's a question I always get hit with in this new media world, is how are you making money doing this? And so tell us a little bit about your business model and where your support comes from.
Well, first, when I started, I didn't have a business model. There was no business plan. It was just that we wanted to do a show. And a friend of mine, Helena, out of Rhode Island, we wanted to do the Stable Scoop show. We had done the show together before, years ago, and we thought, it's just going to be fun. Well, then it started growing and growing and growing, and then I had to say to myself, okay, this is taking up, you know, all my time. I need to figure out how to make some money doing it. So we do it, basically, it's simple. We have advertisers. We do the traditional model of advertising. They pay to advertise on every episode that they're on, and we've been lucky enough to get some very long-term advertisers, and we're still looking for more, obviously, but you know, we have enough now that we can run the network, and it works out great that way. They are very committed to podcasting, and they're committed to doing the shows. They like the fact that they are sponsoring the shows, and that, you know, we really do the Paul Harvey style. The hosts read the ads, so it's that's the way it should be in podcasting. And we don't take a product if we don't believe in the product. If I don't believe in promoting the product, if I am not excited about the product, we won't take and advertise that product. Mm-hmm. Because we have to read these ads. Our credibility is on the line, us as hosts. So we're very particular about which companies and products we take. We have turned down a couple, which sounds really, you know, stupid in today's environment, but we realize that, you know, that's going to build the quality over time, is if we right. only are advertising things we believe in.
I fully agree with that, and strange as it does sound, we've had the opportunity to do the same. Well, for those supporters you have, how do you, because I know this was a topic we heard in a number of presentations out in Vegas, how do you show your supporters that they're getting, or what they're getting for their investment, so that they feel good about continuing that support?
Well, you know, the first thing I say to them is that new media is different. You're not going to have a direct return on investment correlation like you do with other types of media. What you're going to see is an overall increase in your traffic. Because our listeners, for the most part, about 50% of them are listening while they're cleaning stalls, riding their horse, driving to a horse show, driving to work. They're listening while they're not at their computers. The other 50% do listen at their computers. So for the most part, though, they don't have the opportunity to hear the commercial and go right to the website that we're advertising. So what they do is they come home, and when they have a need for that product, they go, oh, they advertise in that show. What's that place called? And they Google it. So what our advertisers have seen is almost a double increase in their direct Google traffic, people searching for their name in Google. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the most part, people never come to our websites, and we don't care if they ever do.
Right.
You know, we don't care if they come to our website and click on a link through an ad banner, and that's not what we promise our advertisers. What we promise our advertisers is an increase in traffic. And that's what they've all seen and have stuck with us because of it.
Yep. I'll tell you what, SEO is definitely the name of the game in this new media world and one that we're living in. And it definitely takes, as we have found in working with some traditional media buyers, who just got to have these numbers to say, well, you know, well, how many visitors do you have and clicks? And it's like, that's not the way you measure success, especially when it comes to this. But we definitely need to do whatever we can to help them see that return, because they are investing hard-earned dollars in it, for sure. Before we go, because I know you've got some things you got to get to, another quick question is, how do you market yourself to your target audience so that horse lovers know that they can tune into your podcast?
Well, we haven't never done any advertising ourselves. When we first started, we did some press releases, things like that. But what we do, what our model is we find affiliate websites to carry our shows so that people can listen right from their website to our shows. And we have over 25 now websites around the world that actually are carrying our shows. So we that is the way the word has gotten out. As a matter of fact, I hear from a lot of people, old friends I haven't seen in a long time in the horse world or whatever, and they come up to me and they say, geez, your shows are everywhere. That's because everywhere they go, they see our shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're picking up a couple big new affiliates in the horse world this week and next week that's going to increase that between those two websites, they see 750,000 unique visitors a month. Mm-hmm. So if we keep putting and they're going to carry all the shows. So if we keep putting all our shows out there in front of eyeballs, that's better advertising than we could buy.
Yeah.
And what it does for the affiliates is it gives them free content, and we do everything. We offer all the affiliates this content for free. We don't charge for anything. And they get good quality content, and they get people coming back to their website every week to listen to the shows. So it's a win-win for everybody. And that's what new media is all about. Mm-hmm. New media is about sharing content, building an audience, but working together to build an audience like you and I are doing right now.
Exactly. That's the name of the game. So just on a more of a technical side, because I know we have people very interested in this, can you kind of quickly give me a what type of audio software do you use, or podcasting software? And also on the measurement side, you know, in terms of knowing how many downloads or listens you might have had.
Well, I would like to say it's highly technical and scientific, but because I do all the editing and have to get them done fast every week, we do 10 shows a week, so I have to get them done, you know, done and out. I use GarageBand on the Mac for the editing of the shows. We have a microphone mixer system that I use on my end here, mm-hmm. at my house, and then all the co-hosts are currently using Plantronics headsets, and we do all our interviews and everything over Skype like most podcasters. And then all of our websites are built on WordPress, and I think 90% of podcasts in the world are built on WordPress websites. And, you know, I found WordPress. I really like it for podcasting. It works well. I use a number of different things for tracking, which I don't want to get into too much, but for tracking the downloads and things like that. And we're happy to say that we're probably going to – I haven't looked at the final numbers for the last week yet, but it looks like we're going to go over 14,000 listeners in 32 countries for last month, and that's unique listeners. So we're very excited about that, with over 20,000 downloads.
Great.
Which doesn't sound like a lot if you're dealing with you know, the tech world, but in our world, in your world, in my world, when you have 20,000 horse people listening to you, that's a lot.
No, it's absolutely, because you know, you can start to compare that to, say, a publication subscription base or something, and realize that these are people who are choosing to click and listen, or however they do it, and you kind of got that captured audience. You know, there's no ambiguity here about whether or not they actually, you know, opened up and read all the stories inside the book, if you know what I mean.
Right, so. Right, exactly. And, you know, and we know they listened. We know they listened at least to part of the show. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we have found, and I was hoping would work, but I wasn't quite sure when we started, is that we have many listeners that email us all the time that say they listen to all the shows, even if they're not interested in that niche subject, because there's just no other content out there. So.
Right.
They're listening to all the shows, which is amazing when you think about it. We put out, with The Daily Show, we put out 10 shows a week. And these people are devoting a lot of time to us, which means that we have the pressure to get the shows out every week, and we've never missed a week on any of the shows, which is a fault of a lot of podcasters. So we're running it like a business, which I think is the difference between ours and 90% of them.
Well, final question, and I'll let you go, is any recommendation you might make to people or companies who are considering starting and getting into doing a regular podcast?
Well, the thing you learned out there, I don't know, was that your first podcast expo?
No. You know, this one was the first one where they combined the two.
Right.
I've been to several, going back to the first blog business summit, I think it was called, a number of years ago. So they just keep getting bigger and better, though.
Yeah, there were a lot more people than when I first went years ago. That's for sure. What I would say is, if you're going to do this, first of all, it doesn't look like a lot of work when you start. Your work is not going to be recording the shows. That's the fun part. The work is setting up the interviews, getting people to commit. Look at you and I going back with 10 emails just to get this done. Mm-hmm. You know, getting people to commit, setting up the interviews, post-production, posting it to your website, posting it to all the social network places you need to post it to, and doing that every week. You cannot do a podcast unless you do it weekly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't know how often yours comes out, but we believe in weekly podcasts to build an audience and to keep your audience, and you have to get it out every week. You cannot miss a week.
Yeah.
Or you'll start to lose your audience. They look forward to these shows, and they're committed to you. You have to be committed to them. And what I would say is, you have to have a commitment, and it takes time.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better. Well, I know that you got to run here, Glenn, and I really appreciate you taking the time because I'm going to be back on the road myself this week, and I just thought this was probably one of my best opportunities, so let's get her done. But
great.
Really, I will keep an eye on things. Keep us in mind if you've got announcements or any information you want to get out. We reach a pretty diverse audience, obviously targeting the ag world, but you know, the equine industry fits right into that, and you know, maybe if I'm lucky, I'll be able to see you at the World Equestrian Games.
That would be great. We'll be here. We'll actually be putting out daily shows from the World Equestrian Games because mm-hmm. We do the World Equestrian Games radio show. So we'll be there for every event, every class, every horse that rides.
Oh, it's going to be fun. And we've had a good relationship with the sponsor company, Alltech. And
oh, yeah, so, they're a good friend of our shows. They come, Dr. Lyons has been on the shows many times.
Wonderful. Well,
yeah, we love them.
Hope to see you there, and thank you once again, Glenn, for being
here. All right.
With us.
Thanks, Chuck, and good luck with the show.
As I hope you heard in the conversation with Glenn here, podcasting is definitely a mechanism, a communications channel that anybody can take advantage of. That doesn't have to be just a person with a special interest, like obviously Glenn did with horses and some of us with agriculture. This can apply to companies, too, that want to start a regular production that could be audio or video to communicate a message to their audience. And you heard him say it, I can't emphasize it enough. If you're going to do it, you really need to commit to doing something on a regular basis and keep at it, because it's not something that builds an immediate audience with big numbers. And in fact, it's really not about big numbers. It's who they are and who is listening or watching. So I encourage you to give it a try. And if you've got questions, people like Glenn are a great resource, or of course the folks at ZimCom New Media. Well, that is the ZimCast for this week. I'm going to leave you with some music from Music Alley, and that's from Mevio. Used to be the PodSafe Music Network. Since we're at the Coffee Zone, this is a song called Coffee Man, a blues number by Calvin Owens. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
Two things in life I know: music and coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I bring excitement to the music scene like a heaping cup of pure caffeine. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans. Coffee man, I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man, I know all about the coffee beans. Folks love my music from beginning to end, cause all of my music is a premium blend. Cause I'm a coffee man, I know about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. Coffee in the morning can be ecstasy. Like my sweet, sweet woman laying down next to me. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I make it older, but I never get old. Like all great coffee, I'll stay black and bold. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. Sometimes I sweeten it, or maybe I'll spike it. People, you sure gonna like it. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. I'm a coffee man. I know all about the coffee beans. Sugar make it sweet, cream makes it smooth. When you hear my music, baby, you sure got to move. Cause I'm a coffee man. I know about the coffee beans.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.